100 Word Stories. Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. Today is Sunday, so instead of the usual daily stories from me, it's your turn. I call this the weekly challenge, where I post a topic to podcasting.isfullofcrap.com, and then you come up with the stories. I also make excuses for the poor audio quality, whether it's this headset, cats fighting in the background, I'm not quite awake yet, or just loud bumps that usually happen in the night, but the monsters drank a lot of coffee, and you know the things that go on. Anyway, the topic this week was a museum, and we got a lot of stories this week, so let's get right to them. The first story that we're going to have is from Thomas Petrie. Yay! I like to say yay a lot. It's real fun. Okay, Thomas, let's hear your story.
The little museum in Pahrump housed the most bizarre and esoteric objects known to man. Off the main street, the wood building is painted a bright day-glow orange. Not the usual mixture of shrunken heads and pickled body parts you might see in other venues, the Pahrump Museum of Questionable Objects and Noxious Devices contained the newest acquisition, Graham Barker's Naval Fluff Collection, neatly labeled and housed in large French square jars. Many of the other objects in the collection are too bizarre and sordid to relate here, as I respect the sensibilities and proper upbringing of my readers.
Naval fluff. Is that featured at the museum restaurant? Oh, yes. Thank you, Thomas. Okay, let's get... I'm gonna roll with the punches here. I'm gonna try to keep this one fast because we have a lot of stories this week. I think at last count we had about 23, so wow! Just wow! Alright, the next one up is Zachman! Say it with me exactly like that. Zachman! Maybe one week we can get him to sing. Okay, here's Zachman with a little hand wavium.
Had to go to ZM and see if I could find my muse. My kids are too old to go to the hands-on place of learning, but creativity.org said they would have an exhibit about hand wavium, which you may have heard about on Notes from Cood Street. Hand wavium makes things that we currently think scientifically impossible, like faster than light speed travel, possible. So taking Bart there now. This week I am unlikely to write about zombie bunnies as I had planned. Well, unless they are dead mech bunnies using hand wavium to instantaneously conquer distant planets.
Ooh, I'd like to conquer some... there's a planet that really has been bugging me. I don't care how far away they are. I want to conquer them! Oh, thank you, Zachman. I'm trying to keep the crazy down to a minimum because it's going to be a long show, and you people want to hear the stories, not me rambling. If you want to hear me rambling, I could create a ramble cast and just walk around and record. Oh, wait, that's what I do with Cinch. So here we go with another story. This one's by Juliana Julius, and she's new to this, and she writes for Res Magazine and Second Life. So we've got more Second Life. It's going to become a Second Life podcast, and all you people are going to be, oh, yeah, I need one. And then, like, you know, Rod's going to pat me on the head. Oh, yes, you finally saved, and, you know, I'm the hero. And then they ban me for billing problems or something. So here we go with Julie. Welcome to the podcast. Let's hear your story as read by a midget.
These cats, my small mammals, have always comforted me. When the rest of the world makes me want to say, there has always been one nearby, pink-nosed, wide-eyed, trusting, and somewhat loving, depending on the treat du jour in hand. They are, after all, cats. It is no secret I am a closet crazy cat lady. The cats make me sane. Among others, they help me forget all the nonsense, the drama queens, misguided parents, ill-guided lovers, nutty friends, past pedophiles. I absolve you all. I curl into bed, my pink pajamas, alongside the cats, my small mammals.
Thank you, Julie. Oh, I hope you come back next week. This is going to be a lot here, and there's going to be a lot next week. This is going to be a huge year, I think. I'm not sure. We'll find out in December. Okay, next up, we got Lee here absent, someone else who's new to the podcast, although they put this up on SoundCloud. Did they set download rights on it? I don't know. I don't know how SoundCloud works. Usually I say, hey, folks, send it in MP3 format, and now people are doing SoundCloud. Maybe coffee will solve this. I'll figure this out. Either I'll put a microphone up to the speakers, or I don't have the midget record. We'll see. Hold on. I'll just, play and...
The age requirement for entry into the pop-up museum was a tad low. The archive was notorious for both subtle sexual innuendo and blatant obscenity. Info nuggets created by Woody were a virtual aphrodisiac. A night at the museum, including a visit to the bubbly bar and the various zeitgeisty exhibits, produced more pheromones than an unchaperoned game of spin the bottle in Mom and Dad's basement. More than once, security had to be called to discreetly deal with inappropriate behavior behind the music installations. Janitors were later called to clean up the shared historical authority left by enthusiastic contributors.
Thank you, Lee here. I hope that came through. You didn't have download checked on that, so I did the best I could to route, and I haven't put my mixing software back on here with Source and all sorts. So, yeah, if you could just send in the MP3s in the future, that we... Okay. If you need help how to set those up, just drop me an email and I'll point you to the Google-its. Let's see, who's next? Who's next? Who's next? Who's next? Bonchant's Longfall. Ooh, this one's going to be interesting. Oh, and he recorded it too. Oh, no midget. Okay, Bonchant's, take it away.
The 100-word challenge. This word is museum. Tommy was a bundle of energy with many questions. He took things apart, then put them back together. It would be improved when put back together. Not only that, but Tommy was also fast. He would be beside you one moment and gone the next. The year was 3012. All war and famine was abolished. The world finally put an end to war after the invention of the Planet Buster bomb. The bomb was on display in the museum. Deactivated, of course. The teacher turned just in time to see little Tommy pressing the button on the reassembled exhibit.
Oh, that scamp Tommy. Destroying the world. When will he ever learn? Thank you, Bonchants. Next up, we have the return of our long-time, long-gone dear friend, Guy David. Ooh, this is going to be interesting. He used to do the theme music for the beginning and ending of this podcast, but I decided to go with typewritering, because you don't hear the sound of a typewriter anymore. You never do. And if you do, it's probably just, some tinnitus in your ear from an accident involving handguns or firecrackers or listening to loud music while mowing your lawn. So here's Guy David. Welcome back.
Oh. Mustache, a 100 story by Guy David. They say I'm a compulsive mustache painter. I was banned from most of the art establishments when I was much younger. I have a court injunction preventing me from getting within a 300-mile radius of any art shop. When the long-playing records started appearing, many of those famous musician faces got decorated before they caught me. That's when I started doing actual faces. They say Salvador Dali never recovered from what I did to him, went completely and utterly insane. But it was after Stalin that I was finally put away. My inmates all have whiskers now.
Thank you, Guy David. I think the world needs more mustaches. Lots of them. If everyone had mustaches, I think peace would rule over all with an iron fist. All right. So, Guy David is back. This is great. Yay! I'm excited now. And it's not just because I'm drinking the extra caffeinated coffee with you know what's in there. When you can taste the coffee, there's not enough Baileys in it. When you can see your hand in front of your face, there's not enough Baileys in it. But when you can hear Main Girl Writes, who is new to this podcast, welcome aboard. Well, maybe you need a little more Baileys. That way, it smooths the writing. All right, let's see what a main girl can write. Ooh, she recorded it too. Right from the starting gate, I like you.
This is Mean Girl Writes, and this is my Drabble Museum, which will actually serve as a kind of introduction, since this is my first Drabble for you all. Sometimes I wonder if there would ever be a museum of me. It would be a small, musty closet of a museum down some alley of my hometown. A rusty sign would point the way for the curious few who would pay a meager admission and shyly gaze at my former belongings. A hand-knit scarf, some notebooks, a computer, pictures of a blonde with freckles, with two kids the same, running shoes, a shotgun, a camping chair, with a mannequin dressed with favorite sunglasses and well-worn jeans. They would thank the elderly attendant, and outside breathe deep sunlight with relief.
Ooh, how much is the museum? I want to go to that museum. What are the hours? Ooh, is it open on Sundays? Oh, I want to go to the museum. I want to go to the Museum of Main Girl Writes. What, it's not open yet? No? Oh, maybe all the exhibits are under renovation. They're adding all those kiosks and, you know, electronic stuff. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned museums where they, ooh, dinosaur bones. They could have those there. You know, in the restaurant, for making soup. Oh, yeah. Dinosaur bone soup. All right, I'm losing my mind. Maybe I had some bad coffee here. I should drink some more. All right, you head off the other at the pass. Thank you, Main Girl Writes, and thank you for that introduction. We'll all meet in the museum next week for the readings. But before that, it's Muncie! I said that right? Okay. Muncie! Ooh! Guess what? His story's about a museum. Here's Muncie.
Good evening, Alberta Fruit and Nut fans. Tonight I'll be reviewing strawberries and pralines, seeing how they go together, and discussing various recipes that blend these distinctive flavors into something both new and surprisingly bold. Wait. What podcast am I recording for tonight? 100-word stories. Okay, story then. Let's go. Museum. By Chris Monroe. They took the last of my good ideas and put it in a museum. I was proud when the exhibit opened, and I visited every day for a while. But when I realized I had nothing more to say in my creative life, the visits became painful reminders of who I once was. After a few months, I could barely bring myself to look at it. Eventually, I stopped going altogether. Still, it's proven to be a popular tourist attraction. Tickets to see it are constantly sold out. See, they say to the tour groups, Munsey wasn't always a hack. More of my writings at munseystories.blogspot.com. Tweets at Munsey. I'll be back next week, because I've made my peace with being a hack.
Wait, his stories are good, and he's calling himself a hack, and yet, what does that make me? Oh, I'll get you, Muncie. But first I'm going to thank you. Thank you, Muncie. Right. I'm copying down all the suggestions for next week's topic to figure out. This is so hard. There are so many good ones. And writing them down on a slip of paper and picking them out of a hat, well, first I got to decide what hat. Is it my Australian walking hat? Is it my baseball cap? Is it my thinking hat? It's a thinking hat. You don't have to think much about it. I don't know. Oh, well. Let's move on to the next story, and maybe by then I'll make a decision. I'll have to pick hats out of a hat. Next story is by Tura Bregianu. I hope I pronounced that right, because, well, I don't know. Maybe Tura has recorded how to pronounce Bregianu. Well, it would be pronounced Bregianu, because it's pronounced Bregianu, but maybe, you know, how it's spelled. It's up there on the website. Maybe we can all practice that, or make it next week's topic. No, it probably won't be. Tura wanted something else. So here's Tura's story. Enjoy!
In the Etruscan Museum at Volterra lies the stone tomb of a young girl, 9 years old. Her likeness is carved on the outside, with such realism that it is as if she lives again. But only as if. She is dead 3,000 years. Her memory survives only because her family were wealthy enough and cared enough to have the tomb made, and because it survived the chances of history. Every century, the entire population dies. 2 people every second of every day of every year. So, this is not really a story, except the story of us all. Bit of a downer, that one, I'm afraid. The tomb in the Etruscan Museum exists. I've seen it.
Thank you, Tura. And I just looked up on Google the Etruscan Museum at Volterra, young girl, 9 years old, tomb. There's photos! And it's a really, really interesting tomb. I think everyone should go up and see it. So, that's your assignment for this week, to look at pictures. Oh, and write a story on next week's topic. Thank you, Tura. Next up, it's Treed. Okay, Thomas Reed again. You can probably refer to me as Treed. Or, hold on, I need to go into the show notes. Treed and Treed. And Treed, I should probably do this afterwards, you know, when it's saving it. All right, so T-R-E-E-D. And there's no text sent. Oh, maybe we can send the text of the story. Okay, well, here we go with Treed. More from Bob and Dave.
Hi, y'all. This is Thomas Reed, otherwise known as Treed. This week's story by me is a continuation of last week's story, but with this week's word. If you don't get the joke at the end, you probably should go back to my one from last week. It'll make more sense. I kind of like Bob and Dave. Well, the title of this week's story is Bob and Dave, The Love Story Continues, by Treed. Hey, Bob.
What, Dave?
You know I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know, Dave.
I did try to warn you.
I know, Dave.
But you wouldn't let me tell you.
When has that ever stopped you, Dave?
Well, I know, Bob. But I did warn you.
Dave?
Yes, Bob.
Why are you bringing this up now?
Well, the museum is having a new exhibit this week.
Really?
Is it interesting?
I think so, Bob.
But you might not want to go, considering what happened
last week. What is it, Dave? And do I have to go? Well, Bob, it's about dinosaurs.
No, not dinosaurs. At a museum? No, they're supposed to be in the restaurant. Thank you, Treed! See, I can say that too. All right, who's next? All right, so Lee here says that their friend wrote a 100-word story about a dentist visit. Okay. I guess I'll hand this one to the midget since it's not here up on SoundCloud where I still can't get to it. Damn you, SoundCloud! Maybe I have to, like, build up some achievements before I can download. First, you have to slay the elves of Grandor, and then, you know, chop down the mightiest tree in the forest and build a smoke signal to alert the wind gods that you are the new champion. Or I could just drink some coffee. All right, Didactic, here is your story, as read by a midget.
My dentist was injured today while she was torturing me. I didn't bite her. She cut herself with one of her instruments. While she ran to cure her wound, I stayed there with an open mouth. Not because I was dumbfounded, but because she had not given me permission to close it. Fortunately, she could soon resume the operation, as her wound was not really serious. But it's my first time of rightfully shared pain at the dentist. She quickly disposed of my tooth before I could say a word. Now, what am I going to put beneath my pillow?
Thank you, Didactic. The real pain at the dentist's office is when you're uninsured and the bill comes due. Next up, it's Tom. 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 No, the original Tom. Not that Tom. This Tom. And, oh, he doesn't have any updates, but what he does have, this is the 300th story that he's recorded. You see, those stories that have been appearing during the week, he's been backfilling all the ones he missed. And now it's time for dun-dun-dun-dun, Tom's 300th story. I think he's the only one to have done one on every topic. Wow, this is scary. This is exciting. This is a total failure for Planet Z. I'm going to have to send the intergalactic missiles after them. That's the world I want to conquer, by the way, with Zachman's laser thingy. So here we go, Tom. Congratulations. And here's your... Wait, I'm getting a message. Is it too late to send you my story? No, not at all. Oh, we're going to have another story. Ooh, 24. Yay! All right, first we got to play Tom's.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And tonight's story is called Police Riot. The Art Institute has two large bronze lions in front of the entrance doors. In the 60s, it was an act of defiance to actually climb on top. But on the night of the Democratic Convention, the lions saved my bacon. Regular police had been moving people out of Grant Park next to the museum. It wasn't working. Then, a masked, badgeless unit of the police force appeared. As they moved towards the museum, one poor soul got seriously clubbed. He went down and didn't move. I hid behind the back of a lion and froze. They moved on, firing tear gas.
Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance. From behind, every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Thank you, Tom, for that memory of history. Although, whenever I hear that song, I think of the Muppets and those little muskrats and the hunters. That's kind of messed up, isn't it? I don't know, maybe. They were so cute, too. Thank you, Tom. Next up, it's Batgirl. Yes, Batgirl has returned in all of her infinite identity madness, or identity circus, or identity something. Let's find out, shall we? Batgirl, Roll that beautiful bean footage.
Mary thought of her house as a museum, but truth be told, it was more like a mausoleum. For the past 20 years since her husband's death, Mary's house had been a place where life was less lived than remembered. The hundreds of mementos that filled every possible inch of space were ghosts of a past she desperately longed for. Fortunately, Mary has taken advantage of our new Simulove program and is now enjoying a happy new virtual life. Her long-lost husband, digitally reborn through our patent-pending AI technology. With Simulove, you'll never have to say goodbye again.
Cool. That is the most awesome-sounding midget I've ever heard. Oh, can we trade one day? Ooh, we can have a playdate between them. Thank you, Bot Girl. All right, let's see. Ooh, Chris the Nuclear Kid has one this week. It's a 1-2 punch of sauceness. Is there such a word as sauceness? I think so. All right, so let's go ahead and spec the halls. We're going to spec the halls with some madness here. Oh, he didn't record, though. Oh, maybe his dad took his recorder away. He was recording things. Don't go recording that. It's against the SOPA and the PIPA and the salt and PEPA. And congratulations, everyone, for fighting and defeating SOPA and PIPA. Congress will try again. Until, of course, we crash a plane into them. Oh, sorry, I didn't say that. Oh, no, I'm going to jail. Well, while I'm in jail, the midget will take over the podcast, and he'll start by reading this story.
Foolish humans, I shall take over the world, exclaimed Jim. Good luck with that, someone said as they walked by. Oh, no, peanut butter-covered ice cream, shouted Zur. Well, Zur, what did you see? Jim said. I see a pony, a museum, and oh my god, a squirrel! Zur replied. Focus, Zur! Focus! Jim shouted. Ooh, a flying Mumiocto squirrel! Ooh, what's that? This is hopeless. I need a smart and loyal robot, not a dumb walking tin can. Zur, where is that data chip? Oh, you mean that blinky little thing? Yes. Ooh, I took it out for a little more tuna. What? No!
And let's all remind ourselves, robots are silly. Thank you, Chris the Nuclear Kid. Hopefully your dad will give you back your recorder. Yeah, you've been good. You did a cool story. It involved stupid robots and invading aliens and going octo squirrels on the squirrel. Yesterday was Squirrel Appreciation Day, wasn't it? Oh, crap, I didn't appreciate a squirrel. Oh, no, now all the squirrels, they're going to have hurt feelings, and they're going to come after me. So, while I'm running from the squirrel, here's Steven the Nuclear Man, and he'll explain to you why we can't have good things.
The star's fusion reaction sputtered. Any moment, John said. Sandra untwined her hand from John's and looked at the image of the dying star, at the horrible, empty black that lay in all directions. It looks sad. John glanced toward Sandra. Status? Wormhole generator steady, particle wave container field ready. John smiled. The last star of this universe, its final rays preserved forever. It deserves better, Sandra said. She watched the slow, dwindling death of the star, of the universe their ancestors came from. The Light Museum's collection ship ripped through the universe's wall, leaving it cold, dark, and silent.
Thank you, Steven the Nuclear Man. Ooh, space. Space, spacey space. Oh, by the way, I'm attempting to download George Harrison's Cloud 9. Amazing how all of those warning labels on CDs saying proper care will allow you a lifetime of listening enjoyment. I must have died twice. All right, here we go with another story. This one from Ross, from Rossitron. Ooh, fire up your Rossitrons, because it's time to give them a listen. Oh, wait, does he suggest a topic? Man, all these good... You people are suggesting so many great topics. And it's a shame that we can't just have a weekly challenge every day, because that would be the daily challenge. Should we expand this whole project so that there are constant challenges out there? And daily challenges? That could be kind of cool. That could be kind of scary. I'm scared now. Oh, well. Ooh, Cloud 9 just finished. All right, that's what we call cloud computing. Cloud 9 computing. All right, I should shut up now. We have a long show ahead of us. So, Rossitron, let's give a gander.
Hi, it's Ross from Rossitron.com, and my entry for this week's challenge is called The Fantasies of Youth. Did you ever want to run away and live in a museum? Not me. Although I enjoyed From the Mixed-Up Files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler as much as the next kid, the MoMA always seemed like an impractical choice for a stowaway. No, I'd run away to the mall. Picture it. Spend all night playing the arcade games, stuffing yourself silly in the food court, reading in bookstores until your eyes crossed, and finally crashing on a Serta mattress. What do you mean, you'd get caught? Why do you think I took this job as a night watchman?
Thank you, Ross. Be sure to take your Rossitron into the shop for repairs and alignments, just to make sure that it's running at peak efficiency for next week. Next up, we have Kate Storymoon. Did I say that right? Did I sing that right? Am I off key? Do I need more keys? Ooh, I need some spare keys. With music by Alicia Keys, it's Kate Storymoon.
After beachcombing, Copeland's quiet city in earbuds, I wandered stretching daylight. Storefronts, backs against winter berms. One shop's canted sign read, Cosmica. Inside, stuff you'd expect, a bric-a-brac museum. I sneezed. Alone on the back wall, a shadow box. Inside, a Polaroid of a barefoot woman at the surf line, assorted rocks, beach glass, and a handwritten poem. It read, hard, cold, tumbled, worn, corroded by time, tossed about. Thrown up on shores by waves and waves, sand-sculpted waves and waves, stepped upon, noticed, handled, admired, ignored, rejected, cast off, kept, used, treasured, broken, each rock shape and stoned heart, hard, cold, stone hearts.
Thank you, Kate. Yay! Oh my god, I can see the end of this folder. Got a few more stories to go. Just keep pushing on. Okay, next up is June Faramore. Now, she says that maybe sharing will motivate me to post on my blog, so I'm going to put up her Twitter feed on the link. Should I create a list of all the people who have been on the weekly challenge in Twitter? Let me know if 100-word stories on Twitter isn't following you. If it isn't, it should! And if it should, then it must. So in your next weekly challenge notice, let me know. Shout at me. Scream at me. Or just ask nicely. Oh, right. Here's June's story. Woohoo! Catch the wave!
So this week was Edgar Allan Poe's 202nd birthday. And once again, the Poe toaster did not show up to his grave at midnight to leave him a bottle of wine. So for my 100-word story this week, I decide to write my own toast for the Poe Museum. We're reading Poe in school. Finally, someone who knows life is hell. Most days I feel like that guy who got bricked into a cellar, though I don't know what I did to deserve it. Mom says she'll sign the slip for me to see his grave if I get an A on my paper. I told her it was too much pressure. She says I need to apply myself. We learned he died from drinking too much today. I couldn't find a cask, but this bottle of wine should get me in character. Here's to Baltimore's most famous drunk. Thanks for listening. Follow June Faramore on Twitter, and in the immortal words of Mick Foley, have a nice day.
Thank you, June. And do follow her on Twitter, because she posts up The Daily Wave around 7 Pacific in the evening, where you're about to go to bed. Oh, no, 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 no. It's time to take 20 or so minutes to write up a story on the topic of the wave. The more tired you are, the more interesting your thoughts will be. Trust me on this. That's when I write my weirdest stuff. Or my weirdest poop. That was her suggestion for a topic. One of these days I'm just going to post up all the suggestions for topics in one site on a location called tinyurl.com/100wordstories. But no, not today. Oh, wait, I already did. Yeah, that's where I put them all, the ones that weren't picked out of the hat. So folks will be like, oh, you could have picked that and you picked this stupid one. No wonder why there are only 3 stories this week. You're a lousy podcaster. And I'm like, oh, no, don't look at me like that. Oh, put down that knife. Ooh, God. I have a little acid reflux there. Ooh, I should have some base reflux to cancel it out. Who's next? Who's next? Ooh, it's Danny Dwyer, and he's especially angry this week, so this one's going to be fun. How do you get angry about a museum, anyway? I don't know. We'll find out. Danny, fire up the anger engines. Let's go for... Wait, hold on. Someone sending it to Prattles. Don't see why not. We did sell Old London Bridge. Okay. I said Yankee Stadium should fall into the ocean. Okay. It just... now all the Yankees fans are going to be angry, but all the Boston fans are going to be happy. The world's in balance. Here's Danny.
Hello, hello, it's Danny Dwyer here again with Weekly Challenge 300. Congratulations, Crap Mariner, on 300 weekly challenges. And I am very happy to have been able to participate in those. Some of them, anyway. Anyway, here's my entry for this special week, Museum. A little excerpt I took from a city town hall meeting in some little unknown suburb in an unknown state in the Union. I hope you enjoy. Museum. Okay, I'd like to call this city commission meeting to order. First on the agenda, the location of our latest museum, the Sarah Palin Museum of Credibility. I was hoping the city would purchase the empty lots next to the Dolly Parton Museum of Inane Boobery, but it appears that another Starbucks is going in there. I suggested putting the museum next to the Mitt Romney Museum of Consistency, but tonight I heard that the Museum of Effective Legislatures was closing because the staff there discovered there aren't any. Unless there's any objection, that is the location I nominate for our new museum.
Hey, man, I know it's an election year, but don't go dinging on Dolly Parton. Thank you, Danny. I love Dolly. She's a prolific songwriter. I think she's genuine. And most of all, she said the most brilliant quote, which is, "It costs a lot of money to look this cheap." It just describes America to a T. And I'm proud to be cheap. Who's next? Ooh, Norval Joe. Oh, this is going to be cool. It's all right. Hold on. Just click here and there. All right. And I hope he has an announcement on his patio novel thing. The Price of Friendship. I think that's the name of it. I don't know. It's the link. I should go there. While I'm going to thepriceoffriendship.blogspot.com, you check out Norval Joe's story. Hint, he's actually Philip Carroll.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 300 with a prompt of museum. Remember, go to patiobooks.com and check out my brand new audio novel, The Price of Friendship. You don't have to listen to it, just subscribe and download some episodes. That'll help me get up the charts. I have been at the top of the daily charts. I'd like to see if I could move into a weekly or monthly position. That'd be great. Well, here's my story. Blathendear shook the back door. He heard it rattle as it shifted slightly at his pull, but the bolt held. He walked past displays set on pedestals and low tables. He passed dioramas behind floor-to-ceiling glass windows and smiled at the familiar faces with their unseeing glass eyes. He set the alarm, stepped out, and locked the front door. He thought about the movie Night at the Museum and wondered, as he often did as he closed up, what would happen in Blathendear's Museum of Horror and the Macabre if all the displays came to life each night. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Norval Joe. You may have advised people just to download but not listen to your stuff. I'm going to say people should download, listen to it, and keep it. Yes, listen to his stuff. It's good stuff. And it's good for you, too. I, for one, feel healthier and stronger. And let's just say I have more stamina as a result of listening to his stories. Did I remember to thank him? Thank you again! Now I'm feeling embarrassed. I could just stop and re-record this, but no, we must press on. Next up, it's Guard 13007, and okay, it's going to give away the secret if you're following the Twitter feed, but yeah, his topic was picked. I picked it out of the hat, I picked a hat, then I picked the story, and then it steamrolls from there. Ooh, steamroller. Speaking of steamrollers, let's get right on a rollin' with Guard 13007. You know, because all the other guards can't hack. Why did you pick that number anyway?
Hello, Guard 13007 is finally back, and probably not here to stay because, you know, I am horrible at keeping a schedule. This is my entry for whatever weekly challenge number this is about museums, apparently. And now, here is our newest collection, samples of the worst music known to the early 21st century, played at the loudest volume possible for your enjoyment. The guide smiled that fake smile all public speakers did. Out from the speakers came a most horrible sound. Everyone clutched at their ears in pain as the high-pitched squeals and horrible white noise bass blared. It was not long before they were running around like mad dogs, tearing each other to pieces. After a few days, police came to investigate strange behavior. They were never seen again. The museum was nuked from orbit. Okay, and there it was. And if you are sadistic or something and want to listen to, like, 5 or 6 minutes of that kind of horrible noise, there is actually a full track of that music thing that's not really good at all that I did. Because I was bored, and probably sadistic. Or am I even using the right word?
He sent in 2 MP3s. I'm going with the longer one that has the invitation to listen to that track. Oh, yeah. Maybe I'm going to make that the background sound to next week's show. Okay, yeah. Not likely. Thank you, Guard 13007. You are relieved. Please, have a good week. If you know how long a week is, you said you don't know how to keep a schedule. It's on a freaking calendar, man. I mean, every time the sun comes up, put an X through a square. Although, if you want to play, you know, Connect Four or Noughts and Crosses, that's up to you. Kittens. All right, who's next? It's TJ. Oh, the adventures of online dating. Wait. No? Is he doing another... Wait, hold on, I'm looking. Doesn't look like he's doing one. I'm reading through, and... No, it, okay. Well, whatever it is, you're going to enjoy it, because you always do. And if you don't, come on, open up your mind. No, really, open it up wide. I need to put these bowling shoes somewhere.
Hi, this is TJ. I am from North Dakota, and this is family history. My grandmother's house has become something of a museum to our bizarre family history, not least of which Grandpa, who, funeral or no, I honestly think I'd still be in here somewhere. The place is a hoard, an absolute disaster area, but Grandma moves through it nimbly enough. She's invited us to help with his things and shared some odd family histories. This is the bear trap your grandfather got caught in for 3 days. 3 days? I asked. There's a release trigger right there. She looked at me. No one ever said he was a smart man, she shrugged.
Thank you, TJ, and thank you for that wonderful theme music. May everybody have such... In fact, folks, you should be coming up with theme music so that folks know that your stuff is coming, and you should all be warned. Okay, maybe not. All right, so things are running a little late here, but that's okay. We've got plenty of time, and we've got really fast internet connection through Xfinity, I think. I'm not sure. Is that Comcast? It's all Comcast. Why do they have to rebrand, and then 2 years later they're going to be like, no, we're just going to rename it Comcast, and we just bought out another company, so you're going to be drinking Comcast Cola. We've got a few more stories coming. Here's Noe. Noe Lonnie Lightfoot. Yeah, she wanted to try it this week. So, all right, everybody relax. Okay, take a deep breath. Unless you're underwater, then hold your breath, for God's sake. You don't want your lungs to fill up with whatever you're immersed in. I hope it's pudding. I've always wanted to be immersed in pudding for some reason. It doesn't matter what flavor, although pistachio is kind of strange. It's kind of sickly green. Oh, that'd be kind of cool. You know, if you're filming a movie and someone slowly comes out of a sickly green vat of pudding and... Okay, maybe not. So, here's Noe and her story, now that I've properly set her up. How do you set people up with pistachio pudding? What am I doing?
Tiny, insignificant dust motes swirl in a late afternoon shaft of sunlight that pushes through the window, their lost earth on invisible breath. Yolk, the color of strelitzia petals, is broken and mixed with powder pigment. Quick, deft strokes repair cracks, ease years of damage. The path had not been clear. She cannot hear the steady flow of feet through exhibitions, or even the warble of a city bird. It became apparent in her steady, careful hands. Now her colors lay where master's eyes once traced. She rebuilds visions, dreams. She sees. Dante Rossetti's world is resurrected by her brush.
Thank you, Noe, and please come back next week with more stories. We want to hear more. I want this podcast to be a harbor of refuge and writing and sharing for all. Except, you know, for people that are evil. We don't want the evil, but you're not evil, so that's okay. Let's see, who's next? Who's next? Oh, no. We're actually out of stories. Oh, no, that means only one thing. Planet Z? Yeah, I'm afraid so. All right, folks, you've been warned. Put on your helmets. We're about to crash. Planet Z.
The History Museum has the strongest security I've ever seen outside of a military base. But when you have Merlin's wand and spellbook in your basement, you don't want anybody walking in and using them. Not that there's anybody that can read the spellbook and know the necessary gestures to activate it, except me. I'm with the cleaning crew, and after years of studying this junk, I figured it all out. Oh, sure, the alarms will go off, the vault will close and lock me in. That's nice. It'll let me cast the Doomsday spell uninterrupted.
The museum is closing in 5 minutes. Please proceed to the nearest exit. Thank you for coming today.
Good. Closing time.
And there you have it. A whole bunch of stories about museums. Thank you to everyone who is a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast, the 300th weekly challenge. My God, has it been that long? You can go to the website at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com for links to the authors' websites, text of the stories, an archive of shows for a peek back at yesteryear, social network sharing options to let everybody know that you've done something cool, and a whole bunch of other stuff. The more people see this on Google+, Facebook, and Twitter, the more explaining you'll have to do with your loved ones, coworkers, and parole officers. Until next week, where the topic will be, I don't know. This is Lawrence Simon saying thank you for listening, support your local museum, Merry Christmas. What? Why is that still in there? Oh, and, as always, keep it brief.